It's beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Then whosoever will come to drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Well, praise God for this day and every day. When you're in tune with the thoughts and desires of our Lord and Savior, I tell you, every day is a very happy day. In fact, it's really a matter of being with Christ and on that great journey. And you, one of the things you have to understand, my friends, about being with Jesus Christ is you start off as a saved person, as a new person. You know, a lot of people get the journey mixed up with the end objective. The end objective starts at the beginning with Christ Jesus. You know, there's a very strange verse in the book of Revelation that I have pondered quite often. It talks about the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. Now, we know Jesus Christ, supposedly, around 2,000 years ago, the Lamb of God was slain, crucified, although he was totally innocent. He was crucified for our sins, not for anything he had done, but he willingly went to the cross. But the interesting thing about it is the Bible says that we look at it as 2,000 years ago. We have a date. Well, people are sort of mixed up on the date, but approximately, you know, it was this year, this month, and a lot of people want to fight and argue over the exact date, even the month or the year. But we know it was around 2,000 years ago. Now, here's what's very fascinating. The Bible looks at things God's way, and God doesn't really have man's time. Listen to me, when you get up in heaven, you're not going to have a calendar with the 12 months of the year like we have that are really based on pagan time periods anyway, and mythological time periods. So God does not have our time. He doesn't have to live according to our thoughts. There are no 24-hour days. There are no 60-minute hours and 60-second minutes in heaven. Think about that, friends. Eternity is far, far different than anything you and I can imagine. And Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world. Wow. It just boggles your mind, doesn't it? Now, listen, let me tell you something else that'll boggle your mind. We also read in the scriptures that God chose you, if you're going to be his, if you are his, he chose you from the foundation of the world. Whoa! You say, well, I'm only, let's say, 40 years old, I'm only 50, I'm 30, I'm 20, however old you are. You say, well, how did God know about me? Way, way back then. He did. Can you believe he not only knew you, he foreknew you, and he knew what kind of person you were going to be. He knew whether you were going to accept him as Savior. Were you going to obey him? Were you going to believe and have faith in him? Were you going to accept the grace that he has offered every man, woman, and child on earth? He already knew in advance that you would come to him, that you would believe in him, that you would give your life to him. And he knew it before you were ever born, before your mother and father ever met each other. He chose you, in fact. You thought you chose God. You know, I always found it entertaining when the Billy Grahams of this world say, yes, choose the Lord, choose to serve him. Come forward and accept a personal relationship with Jesus. Well, I sort of understand from the human reasoning, they make sense. But really from a spiritual point of view, that is simply ignorance. Because God already had chosen you. Now I understand you have to make a step too. It is true that you need to repent of your sins and accept and believe in Him and have faith in Christ. Give your life over to Him so that He can remold you and make you anew. But listen to me. He already knew you were going to do that. And if you're a person listening to this radio program who don't know Jesus, and you're going to continue to reject Him today and every day for the rest of your life, well, I'm sorry for you, but God knew that too. Did you know there are some people foreordained of old for condemnation? Judas was chosen to be condemned before he was ever born. He came into the world with God already knowing he was going to be condemned. And the Bible, the scriptures tell us that there are many who have crept in. They're like thieves. They sneak into the churches to break them apart. They pretend to be Christians. And the Bible says they are foreordained for this condemnation. Oh, God condemns such people. And you know, some people, I really believe, they don't even know that they are foreordained for condemnation. They actually believe they're Christians. That's why Jesus said on that judgment day, they come before Him and they say, Lord, look at all the things I did in Your name. Why, I cast out devils in Your name. You know, they're not lying to Christ. Some of them are sincere. They sincerely serve the devil thinking they were serving God. Why? Because they never gave their heart over to Jesus Christ. And they had blinders on. They were blinded their whole life. Blinded even into believing that they were doing God's service. Many of them will kill Christians. Literally will kill Christians in the last days and thinketh they do God's service. That's what Jesus said. And they'll probably go before Jesus on the throne and say, look, I had Jack and Bill and Larry, I had them all put to death when I was in a position of authority in that concentration camp. I did it for You, Lord. What they were teaching just didn't seem right to me. So I had them arrested and put to death. And God's going to say, they were My servants. And You put them to death. Depart from Me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And there will be, Jesus said, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What a shock to these pretenders. And I believe the people who are giving us these false satanic Bible versions today are going to be chief among those who will be judged harshly by God. Now, love to hear from you. And of course, we would appreciate any love gifts, tithes, or offerings so you can help us doing God's great work here in these end times. Now, we have Johnny Ray Watson again. He's the one that sings our theme song. And he's going to sing One Day at a Time. Then after that, we'll have, I believe it's going to be our last segment today. We're going to have a conclusion, believe it or not, to what has been a wonderful series because it's right from the Word of God and it exposes the old devil's works called Satan's Plan for a One World Religion. And if I have any time after this song and the message, I'll come back for a few concluding remarks. This is Tex Mars, and here's Johnny Ray Watson.
One day at a time.
I'm only human. I'm just a man. Help me believe what I could be. And all that I have, show me the stairway I have to climb. Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time.
One day.
Strength to do everything. I know you do, Lord, when you walk among men. Well, Jesus, you know you're looking to low, and it's worse now than then. We're pushing and shoving, they're crowding my mind. Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Strength to do every day what I have to do. For yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. Day, show me the way, one day at a time.
We were guided, says Hymers, through this eerie church to the place where the Sinaitica scroll has been kept by these monks across the centuries until it was discovered by Mr. Tischendorf, taken to Germany, and ultimately sold to Great Britain. As I stood in front of the case where the Sinaitica scroll had been kept prior to its being stolen by Tischendorf, I had the distinct impression that nothing in the way of spiritual light could come from this place. Hymer says, quote, "This impression led me to re-examine the facts concerning the Westcott and Hort text, and to come to the conclusion that their use of the Sinaiticus and Vaticanus scrolls as a basis for the new Greek text was spurious. I have come to the conclusion," he says, "that the Westcott and Hort text is a mutilation, and that the Masoretic text and Textus Receptus, which are the basis of the King James Bible, are far superior. Therefore, I strongly defend the King James Bible as the most reliable translation of the Scriptures in the English language today." Well, if that's the origins of the Sinaiticus manuscript, a satanic manuscript found in a demonized place full of skulls and bones of dead people, then what about the Vaticanus that was used by Westcott and Hort? Well, listen to this. We read in O. Timothy Magazine, Volume 11, Issue 6, 1994, page 28, quote, "The Vaticanus manuscript was in the Pope's library in Rome, supposedly," I added the word supposedly, "since before 1481. It says, the enterprising Tischendorf, now remember this is the same man that supposedly found this Sinaiticus manuscript in a wastebasket at this old manuscript, a monastery, the same man claims to have gotten a hold of the Vaticanus, the other manuscript, which he says he found at the Vatican, which had had it since before 1481. And finally, he published an edition of the Vaticanus in 1867. Yes, Tischendorf would be a very interesting man to research the history of, friends. Now listen to what O. Timothy writes. "These ancient codexes, the Sinaiticus and the Vaticanus, were preferred by Westcott and Hort, and the editors of the English Revised Version of 1881, who had adopted the position that these oldest manuscripts were also the best." Well, that's where we get the new versions of the Bible, and that's why they're so dramatically different from the King James. For example, in Isaiah 14, verse 12, the name of Lucifer, the identity of Lucifer, whose destiny is the pit, according to Isaiah there, is omitted. Lucifer, taken out of Isaiah. Well, why would that be? Well, John Robinson explains why, I believe. In his book, A Pilgrim's Path, Freemasonry and the Religious Right, he gives us a few clues. Now, I want you to know that John Robinson is a Mason, recently passed away, who was viciously anti-Christian. And in this book, he explains how the new versions have helped to rehabilitate the image of Lucifer. He says, for example, that the great former sovereign grand commander of Freemasonry, Albert Pike, who wrote the book Morals and Dogma, which is the basis for all of modern Freemasonry, thought very highly of Lucifer. That's right, in Morals and Dogma, Albert Pike called Lucifer the light bearer. He says in the book, Pike does, is it he, Lucifer, who bears the light? Doubt it not. Lucifer, the light bearer, the God of light. He says the Christians are liars when they say that Lucifer is an evil, false god. Well, Mr. Robinson, in his book, A Pilgrim's Path, Freemasonry and the Religious Right, says that Albert Pike is correct. While Lucifer's gotten a bum deal over the centuries from the Christians. And why? Well, on pages 48 through 54, he explains. It's because of that mean old King James Bible. He says, Lucifer became a disobedient angel, according to the King James Bible. He was cast out of heaven to rule eternally in hell. He says, quote, theologians, writers, and poets have interwoven the myth of Lucifer with the doctrine of the fall. And in Christian tradition, because of this mean old King James Bible, says Robinson, Lucifer is now the same as Satan, the devil. He's ironically the prince of darkness. He said, that's not true. Lucifer is a great ancient Latin name for the morning star. That's what the new versions of the Bible, the NIV and the others, say too, friends. The same thing the Masons are saying here. Fortunately, writes Mr. Robinson, there has been work on a new translation of the Bible. He says, there have been many imperfect translations, but now, with the new translations, Lucifer has been rehabilitated. He says, in these versions, there is, quote, no mention of Lucifer, no reference to any disobedient angel plunging to hell, nor should there be. The Masons are delighted, delighted to death, that Lucifer has been taken out of the Bible. Then, Manly P. Hall, 33rd degree Mason, he was claimed to be the greatest scholar. He was named that, the greatest scholar in Masonry of the 20th century. That was in Scottish Rite Journal. In his book, America's Assignment with Destiny, talks about also about how the false gods of the past have been given a bum rap because of the King James Bible. He says that a man named Price, P-R-Y-S-E, published a better version of the Bible in which he changed Matthew 10:16 so that Christians would understand that the snake bird, Quetzalcoatl, worshipped by the Indians, the ancient Indians down, the Mayans and the Aztecs and so forth, down in Mexico, would be something good and not bad. He says, Mr. Price was a Greek scholar. His translation differed slightly from the King James. He felt that the great snake or serpent of the Indians had the same meaning as the dove, and that this creature combines serpent wisdom and should be our inspiration. You can read all about this on pages 31 through 33 of Manly P. Hall's books. The serpent as the bird of inspiration? Lucifer as simply the god of light, the light bearer? That's right, in the new versions of the Bible. Is that why, according to the Arizona Daily Star, friends, in Tucson, published Sunday, August 16th, 1992, was this article, Cursing and Violence Used to Sell Teens on the Bible? That's right. You see, according to this report, Turner Educational Services, you know, the Ted Turner people of CNN Network, well, they've got another company, you could just call it Turner Educational Services. They've come out with a sort of a new Bible version, that's sort of the Bible according to MTV. They include modern words in it, foul ones, cursing, violent images, profanity, and violence. Well, they're selling it all on computer. CD-ROM. You can use it on your computer. My friends, these versions are getting worse and worse and worse. And you will find that the changes being made in the new versions go along with the new age. For example, the new age teaching that Jesus was not born of a virgin could not have been, but was simply another man who earned his way to godhood. And that's why the RSV and many of the new versions take away the word virgin and insert, substitute the lying term maiden. So that Mary was not a virgin, she was just a young maiden. Oh, that goes great with the New Agers. And then there's 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, that says there are three that bear record in heaven, and these three are one. That's right, three, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, to be specific, in the King James Bible. But the New Agers will not go along with that idea of the Christian oneness of the Trinity. For example, Foster Bailey of the Lucis Trust, formerly known as Lucifer Publishing, in his revealing book, Running God's Plan, says instead that the Trinity is, quote, Father, Mother, and Child. Well, that's the same thing that the Egyptians taught, the Babylonians taught. Let's look at another example. Did you know that in Revelation 13 it says, here is wisdom. This is in the King James. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. That's right. Revelation 13 in the King James warns us that this Antichrist, the beast, will be a man. His number will be that of a man. Well, all of those people who don't want you to believe that the Antichrist is coming, they don't want you to believe that the Great Tribulation will overtake this planet. They want you to believe that there's going to be a new birth of this planet, a new planetary Pentecost, according to Barbara Marx Hubbard in her book, False Bible, by the way, New Age Bible, The Revelation. They want you to believe that everything is going to get rosier and better until the New Age peace and plenty and prosperity era comes upon this earth. Is that why they've taken out this Antichrist? That's right. You read the new versions of the Bible, and they have taken Revelation 13, that final verse, and they've changed it. It no longer becomes that his number will be that of a man. Instead, it will be man's number. Man's number. Let me read it to you very quickly. Here it is from the NIV. It says, quote, this calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. In other words, well, all men have problems, have imperfections. They're all striving toward godhood, the New Ager says, toward karma, toward balance and equilibrium, the Masons say, on their way to the divine, through the divine path and journey. So that's just man's number. There's no personal Antichrist, a man. That's just the number of all men who are not yet divine. And then we get to the Lord's Prayer. Read this in the NIV, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, starting with verse 2. Here's what Jesus said. Now listen, can you see what's missing? Here is the false devil's prayer from the NIV Bible. It says, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. That's the end of it. Well, you know what they forgot? In the King James, the word our before Father, the words which art in heaven that follow the our Father, those are missing. In the second sentence, hallowed be your name. How about thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All of that's missing from this false Lord's Prayer in the NIV. And then there's some other things missing. How about, but deliver us from evil? Satan doesn't want you to know that's in there. And it's not in the NIV, but it is in the King James. How about, for thine is the power and the kingdom and the glory forever? That's the great ending in the Matthew version of the King James. It's missing here in this version. And of course, we can go on and on with these lies in the new versions. Westcott and Hart, they detested the King James Bible. They worshipped Mary. They were secret closet Catholics. And they gave us the false new versions. And the Dead Sea Scrolls supposedly were found and kept at the Rockefeller Museum in Jerusalem. There again, we have a supreme problem. The Rockefeller Museum, the Dead Sea Scrolls, and now they're being used for these new Bible versions. There's so much more we could talk about. The fact that the New World Translation of the Jehovah's Witnesses also used the false Westcott and Hort manuscript. Friends, this is simply the lie of the servant. The lie of the serpent. Jesus said, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. It's no wonder that the new versions have taken out the sentence, but by every word of God. This was the lie told in the garden, and now it's being told today. There is a plot for a one-world Bible. It will be the Christian and Jewish Bible, and it will be the lie of the devil from the very beginning of mankind on earth.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.